Let's open our Bibles, brothers and sisters, and thanks be to God getting back here into 1 Timothy. And as we pick this up in the fifth chapter, I just want us to remember back, this is to the Timothys. I know it's a Timothy, but it's the Timothys in heart. And praise be to God, Timothys, good ministers, spiritual ones. And I thank God for that. So as we read through and as the Spirit speaks to us in this fifth chapter tonight, may we meditate on these things. Verse 1, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters, with all purity. And all I can think of as we start into this is what a family we have. Praise the Lord. What a family we have. This is our family. And I'm so thankful for the body of Christ, and what a beautiful body it is. And Christ, praise God, is our head. I'm so thankful that by grace we can know that and we can yield to that. And when we yield to Christ as our head, it's amazing how everything takes its place. It's amazing how everything that is in order because of Him takes shape. You see the beauty of the body as it should be with Christ as its head. But by grace, brothers and sisters, what this is really getting at and what we're going to get into tonight is I would pray that really what we're after is that our fellowship would be in the gospel of Christ. Not in our thoughts, not in what we think we need to build, not in what we think we need to do or how to approach something. Brothers and sisters, let this mind be in us that was also in Christ Jesus. That's the word of the Lord. And I'm so thankful that He has protected that. And I thank God too for the testimony of the reality of the word of God, how true it is. That as we yield to this, what harmony we enter into. I thank God for the unity that we have in the Spirit and the bond of perfectness. And I am so thankful for that bond of peace that keeps us, the unity again that we have in Christ. And as the Lord encourages us on here and as we read these first two verses, brothers and sisters, there's a submitting one to another as unto the Lord. I'm thankful to God for that. I'm so thankful to God that now the word of the Lord tells us to condescend to men of low estate. I'm hoping and praying all of us are lowly. And you know what I mean by that. We do need to be lowly ones. That God help us to be as those two mountain rams, you know, got on that path. And they were up way high and that path got real small. And one was going one way and one was going the other. And the only way that they could pass, couldn't back up. Couldn't go up, couldn't go down. One had to get down and the other would walk right across on it. And that's a true story. And that's how it is, brothers and sisters. God help us to be the one that would get down. What an honor it is. And not of self, but because of Him. Because of what He is and because of what He did and because of what He finished. You talk about a time of lowliness. Well, we are celebrating as a earth or as a world right now. Thanks be to God for that. At least there's a remembrance of it. The worm upon that cross. Amen. 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 But as we begin here, rebuke not an elder. Don't chastise them. That means with harsh words. Now, as we begin into this, the emphasis here is even of age. And I'm thankful to the Lord that I grew up respecting my elders. I thank God for that. I thank God for, and I don't think it's not old-fashioned. I think it's godly to refer to elders, especially young people, and I really ingrain this into my children, to call people Mr. and Mrs. These are important things, brothers and sisters. It's not just etiquette. It's godly. And I think of what a shame it really is. You travel across this globe, and especially like in Asia and things of that nature, they have so much more respect for their elders, for their elderly ones, and the care that they have for them than we have in our own country. It's so sad. And this is just on the surface. But again, see, God reveals himself even in nature. People can't get away from that, that we know that this is right, that we know that this is well. But I do think, oh, what a shame. We're in a generation, I believe, that God is going to have to destroy. And I think that's one of the evidences of it. I do correct, and my kids get a little bit embarrassed when they might have a friend that says, well, hi, Jesse. I say, no, I'm Mr. Odorsio. And that's exactly, and I believe that very wholeheartedly. There is something to that. There's a respect, there's an honor in those types of things. Now, how much more so to the body of Christ? And we'll go on here in a moment to with the elders, but there is no excuse, and help God help us to really, Lord, let this word work effectually in me. Let me believe this word. Let me yield to this word. Let this word be alive and living in me. That's the grace of God. And in these types of things, we might overlook them, but Lord, search me. If there be any wicked way in me, let's lead me in the way everlasting. And God help us to encourage the young ones in this as well, too. But he is speaking to Timothy. Timothy was going to go out. There was many things that he was going to experience. But as a young man and as a young minister, he was encouraging him in the love of God. To show love. When you show respect, you are showing love. There's an honor in that. There's a tenderness. There's an attraction. And I'm so thankful to God that, God help us to carry that honey wherever we go. But there is no excuse to rebuke or to chastise. It's not your place. We need to allow God to deal with these things. And he'll show us here in a minute how he deals with elders, even in the meeting and things of that nature. But we've all seen these types of disrespect. And I think of not too long ago in our own meeting, I saw a young man with a family basically do this exact thing as I'm speaking, as the word of the Lord is speaking of right here. And he came to an elder one and tried to tell him something that he did not like. And he spoke that out in front of people. And he had been here for about 4 or 5 months. And it wasn't a couple weeks, and I haven't seen him since. We cannot harden our hearts. This is a stiff neck. God help us to bend that knee. And I don't care how angry we get. I don't care how mad we get. I don't care how right we think we are. There is still no excuse. God's ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. And I'm so thankful to God that they're not. And I'm so thankful that Jesus does know. And all I could think about as I was reading this was, could you imagine those ones when David was in that cave and there was Saul lying right before him? And, okay, there's the dirty dog. Cut his throat right now. And as he would not do it, I could imagine lots of thoughts that might have been going through those different ones' heads. He deserves it. You're wrong not to take that life. You're wrong not to strike back. And as that brother so sweetly said, I will not touch God's anointed. Amen. Well, I believe the word of God is anointed. And by his grace, I want to yield to it. I want to yield to God's word. You wouldn't be here tonight if you didn't want to yield to God's word. Isn't it wonderful? It changes you. It changes you into the men and women that you never knew you could be, let alone imagine. But that's just what the word of the Lord does. It's so wonderful how it takes us from glory to glory. But then again, it goes on here and it says, let's not forget the younger men. And you think about the younger men, they're so vital because these are the ones that are going to be future fathers by the grace of God. Nurture them. Don't belittle them. You know, we all make mistakes. Can you imagine that? We all act kind of stupid sometimes. But don't insult them. Don't try to put them down. Don't try to provoke, as it says even in the Word of God. Fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath. But true fathers, the mature ones, they groom. We want to encourage one another. We want to love and instill grace upon this body, to plant and to water, and God give the increase. You know, if you keep hammering somebody and putting them down, that's exactly what's going to happen, is they're just going to stay there. They're not going to ever want to grow. They're not going to want to go on. You win them with love. It's not compromising, but it's love. And it's understanding. And it's encouraging. And I'm thankful to God that whether we're parents in our family, whether we're teachers in a church, a pastor, whatever it may be, God help us to love one another. and to encourage. And ye that are spiritual, restore. You know, things are going to happen. Mistakes are going to be made. That's why the Word of God talks about that there's children and then there's fathers. And God help us to be patient with one another. And God help us to want to spend that time and not just to, you know, flitter here, flitter there. And we can, you know, kind of have a good show for everybody. But let me tell you something. It's that one-on-one that means everything. When you'll sit there and you'll give somebody the Word of God, no matter how many times they might ask a question or might not understand, that God help you to be patient. Say, thank you, Jesus, that there's a sincerity that they want to know the Word of the Lord. And this is, I believe, what all of this is getting at in here. But it goes on to say with the elder women, that to entreat them as mothers. And I think about how this even ties into the widows, brothers and sisters, that we'll talk about here in a minute. But these elderly women, they're such a resource, and such a resource to all, but especially to the younger women. Yet they're so often overlooked. I see that the elderly women, and a lot of times, are ignored by younger ones. I've heard the excuse when I've encouraged ones to go to some of the elderly women, the ones that are the motherly, godly ones in this meeting. I've heard things, well, they're out of touch. They really wouldn't understand. I hate to say it, that they're too old. And I see them turn to magazines or books. Or don't waste your time, money, and I'll tell you what, that's a dead end. But again, it goes right back to stiff-necked. You know what? You're turning to try to find every answer that you can try to find that'll tickle your ear as opposed to the Word of the Lord. And that's the truth. They're here. They're among us. God has greatly blessed us. And it's wonderful. Take advantage of it. It's part of writing the checks. It's part of that bank account. Why wouldn't you? And there's ones that are eager, as these motherly ones are, to help. Not to chastise, not to rebuke, but to love and to encourage. And I'll tell you what, you talk about battles that some of these ones have been through, the experience. If we'll just be still and inquire and learn, you never know. We might even become a little bit wise. Who knows? But see, God help us to be quick to hear and slow to speak. It goes through our whole lives. And God help us with that. But then again, it goes on and it says the same thing with the younger women. Treat them as sisters. And it's so important that God truly works effectually in us, that, you know, we don't come to, in a sense, church. This is the body of Christ. This is our family. We are brothers and sisters in the Lord. I'm so thankful to God that it's a joy to call you brother or sister in the Lord. It's wonderful. My identity is Christ. My identity, by God's grace, to you and to me is Christ in us. I understand we're all individuals, but it's the treasure that draws us. If it's anything else, God help us. But it's that treasure. The treasure, praise the Lord, it's Him. And that's the love. And I thank Him so much for that. And that's what keeps us drawing nigh and continues to encourage us to run. It's that fire that God continues to stoke in our hearts, love for one another, and it's awesome. But God help us to treat them as sisters, not belittling, just as the younger men, remembering, and especially I say this to some of the elderly sisters, you know, we all were once there too. You know, we all went through a lot of the same unfortunate mistakes. I think about that, you know, we need to look at these ones that these are our future mothers, and we're in desperate need in this day and age of those that will grow up to be motherly ones. And I'm so thankful to God that I believe that these younger ones are here. And sometimes these younger ones can be a little bit defiant. Sometimes these younger ones can wear maybe too tight of clothes. Sometimes they might wear too much makeup in your eyes. Sometimes they might have three color of hair. I don't know what they might have. But love them. But love them. God help us to love. That's why they're young. They're immature. And God help us to stand, but stand with encouragement. and love. And it's amazing. You know, one of the greatest testimonies, especially in these last 7 years, but I'm thankful to the Lord of where He's had me to be in this precious body, working with young people for so many years in this place. But to be able to encourage just one person, that there is, there's value. People are valuable. They're God's. I'll tell you, you think about vessels prepared afore unto glory. I thank God for what He's chosen in us, and especially we're the inheritance of God Himself. And then these young ones that might have been discouraged or might have had some different experiences happen to discourage them from going on with school or different things like that. Let me tell you something. There's a precious brother that I'm sure no one ever thought would ever go to school, brings me his papers and different things like that, and he's in college now, and there isn't a greater joy to my heart. And he knows it's the Lord. Don't despise the day of little things. They're the greatest things. And it's awesome. And this is what this is getting at. And God help us again to be those that would be spiritual. And I guess I'd kind of leave it at this. You know, David was just the runt of the litter. And can you imagine he'd use a prostitute like Rahab? God must have lost his mind. Nope. He looks on the heart. God help us to do the same. Amen? Amen. All right. I'm still going to preach to you some more, so you okay? All right. Let's start in verse 3, and we'll read on. Honor widows that are widows indeed. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusts in God. Isn't that wonderful? See, God knows what He's doing here. She that is a widow indeed and desolate trusts in God and continues in supplication and prayers night and day. Oh, what expectation in her hope. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she lives, and these things give in charge that they may be blameless. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man, well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. But the younger widows refuse, for when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation because they cast off their first faith. And withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house. And not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. For some are already turned aside after Satan. If any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them, and let not the church be charged, that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. Amazing what the Lord wants us to take. And I'm so thankful to God that this is, you know, pretty self-explanatory even on the surface. But our natural families, brothers and sisters, it's a precious thing, these families that we have. And it's important that we understand this, that with a family, and even our natural families and the family of the Lord, there is great responsibility. And I believe what it's getting at right off the bat here is, you know what, we need to honor our parents. And I'm thankful to the Lord that I am speaking to mostly adults tonight, and that's just fine. Because I'm praying to God that these would be the mothers and fathers of in spirit that would encourage ones in these words of truth, that we would honor our parents. And especially, as it's saying here, the ones that have said so long to a spouse and to care for them. In reading this, I was thinking about our own society, brothers and sisters, how our own society has supplanted God's ways with man's thoughts. And that's the truth. They have supplanted that with their ways and their thoughts as opposed to God's ways. Instead of prayer, we now have science. Come on. It's the truth. I deal with this every day. Instead of taking responsibility, we have agencies in government. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not taking sides on any political party. That's nonsense, because those would be sides that are sinking sand. All right? Let's stand on the word of the Lord. And I pray we listen to these things. We have left truly God-given responsibility. And we're living in a time where society, and especially the home, is breaking down. It's devastating right now. It's rampant that our families are in such disarray. The word that we just read here goes on to say, such that do not try to provide for their household, to provide for their mothers and dad as they have time of need. It says that they're worse than an unbeliever. And the reason is because we're talking about Christians here, brothers and sisters. That's the reason. To whom much is given, much is required. We are without excuse. It's the love of God. But yet in despair and also just defiance, oftentimes we just turn from the things of God and try to make excuses how we're going to live our life. But I pray that God encourage us to be the good soldiers that endure hardness and not give in to the convenience of this world and to fight the good fight of faith, that we don't get off into the cliche that I hear a lot, which is, well, this is today's society. This is how they do it now. And all I can say is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And brothers and sisters, I'll remind us again, we are seated in the heavens right now in Christ. Right now. So let's live the life by faith that lives in us. And so thankful to God for that. But see, if we miss these godly principles, brothers and sisters, I really do believe that the men, the males, will never become men. The males will never become men of God. And the women will never become virtuous women. They won't. It just is something that is vital, the word of the Lord and how it is worked effectually in our lives. But there's much more being spoken here. As we look at these widows and the widows indeed, I love that. Because true widows have such a wonderful testimony of faith. And I thank God for that. Their pleasure, their rejoicing is in Christ. And I hope that you understand that as we read back here, let's see what verses, where it says in verse 5, now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusts in God and continues in supplication and prayers night and day. Did you raise your hand? I pray you did. Men, it's okay. Women, it's okay. I'm so thankful to God. See, that's the heart that we need to have, that nothing satisfies but Jesus. I'm desolate but for Jesus. Are you? I have no joy, truly, but for Jesus. And I'm thankful to God that the much the more is working in our lives, brothers and sisters, and we continue in the expectation of Him through prayer night and day, continually. This wonderful meditation going on moment by moment, I'm thinking of Him, and most importantly, praise God, He's thinking of me. And I know that. And that's what encourages and thrills me, is how He loves us, brothers and sisters. It is so wonderful. But you see, these widows indeed, they have a testimony. And that testimony is in verse 10. I love it. They're well reported of for good works. See, they have a testimony. Isn't it wonderful? It's just like I always love to report when Brother Mark Bishop came here in this meeting. You know, he was trying to learn the names of everybody, and he was trying to just get up on everybody's name and all of these things, and just too many were coming at him, and he couldn't remember. And I remember him as he referred to Sister McGuire. I'll talk to her about her because she's not here tonight. He said he'd call her Jesus Lady. she just glowed like Jesus. So that's how he just said, that's Jesus, lady. And I just thought, praise be to God. There is one that has a testimony, see? And praise be to God, we do. And it's all because of Jesus. It's not to mark out, again, the person in a sense, but praise God, as the Word of God says, it says mark them. Mark them. And I mark them. And I'm so thankful. There's many. Praise God, the ministering of the saints and what's going on in here. It's marvelous. It's a miracle. We know it because, but for God, well, we don't even want to think about that. But that's the way it is. But she has good works, and they're noticed. She looked to the ways of her household here. She fed them. She reached forth to the needy, a servant to all, a salve to the body, spiritual in that she took grace and restored. Every opportunity to move with God was seized. She redeemed the time. I think I'm reading from Proverbs 31. Isn't that wonderful? Hadn't changed, has it? See, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. That pattern is always the same. It's never changed. The overcomer in the Old Testament, praise God, that pattern, the pattern of that full overcomer in Christ is the pattern we see today. It's so wonderful. Yes, we do have a better thing, but praise the Lord, as that was being written for us. They looked into it. They wanted to see it, but nope, it was shut up until it was given to us. And I'm so thankful to God for that. But again, I think of the testimonies in this place, and I do. And it's not to commend a person, but to the work of grace. In the Sister Robinson and Sister Austin and McGuire, Sister Baldwin, I think of my mother, I think of those ones. And again, I refer back to the younger women. Inquire of these ones. Inquire of these ones. They know. They're overlooked by this world. They're, in a lot of ways, not much. But oh, what a treasure to God. Oh, what a treasure. And what God has done. And I thank Jesus. I think of the wonderful husbands. I knew most of them that these ladies had. And the love and the pain in saying so long. But there was a first love. There was a first faith that just got a little bit more full. Amen. That's the testimony of the grace of God. So thank you, Lord. Again, I get excited about this stuff because, see, the word of the Lord is living. It's alive. That's what's so incredible. See, when you by God's grace, take his grace, take it. He so plentifully supplied it. Just take it. How amazing the word of the Lord just is written in your life. Author and finisher of your faith. Amazing. Praise his name. But verse 11, going on, tells us clearly that immature widows, the ones that behave like children, they don't receive such honor. Because, see, they're in spirit are still married to this world and the rudiment things of this world. They have cast off their first faith. Well, she reminds me so much of hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. The first love wasn't that precious to them after all. That's why it says so importantly about that widow having been the wife of one man. Is he your first love? Praise God, he is. And God help us to be encouraged in that. But thank you, Lord, for this testimony that we have. But brothers and sisters, they turn to self-want. They turn to self-desire. They turn to pride. They turn to being self-willed. They've got to have it their way. And it's a sad thing because all of that results in one thing, and that's loss. And God help us to not want that kind of hypocrisy in our lives, because verse 13 tells us that withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers, also busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. They become so defiant, they become ones that spread discord. God help us. And this is where we need to be ones that would encourage one another. So as it concludes here for these young widows, marry, have children, guide a household. Isn't that wonderful? Don't give opportunity to Satan for thinking somehow, some way, you have some great gift. I think about this as well, too, for those that, as Brother Paul said, if you could remain as me, you know, you're better off, meaning not married, having children, those types of things. You understand that you don't have the distractions. But you have to understand, brothers and sisters, that's a gift. That is a gift. And if the Lord give you that gift, wonderful. But if you don't have that gift, wonderful. Just don't try to be something you're not. God gave you a wonderful pair of shoes. Walk in it. Walk all throughout the land. And that's the only way you're going to walk throughout the land is in them shoes. And isn't that wonderful? Those shoes never wear out, just like the children of Israel. They don't. Isn't it amazing? Stay with it. Praise the Lord what he'll do. But we need to be who we are in Christ. We need to take the place in the body that he has given us and to take it willingly and joyfully. Amen. It's vital. It's vital to winning God's best. It's vital to being a joint that really supplies. It's vital to being a good minister. And this is why Timothy was being instructed these things. I mean, these are very, in some respects, you'd think these are very elementary things. Well, the simplicity that is in Christ needs to be reminded to us again and again, doesn't it? And Lord, help us to remain in these things. But God willing, there's so much more here. But we're going to move on. Verses 17 through 19. It says, "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine." Now we're getting specific here to the elders that praise God, that are laboring in his word, in the doctrine, in the teaching. "For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. Against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses." Now, I think of these elders, and I thank God for the elders that have been in my life, and specifically even to the elders that are in this meeting. Such precious, precious vessels to God and to the family of God and joints to the body. And I thank God for elders, because as the word of the Lord says, because of the grace that's in these ones, they guard and protect. And thank God that there are praying elders over our precious flock, encouraging one another, encouraging to each one of us. I can think many times about the elders in this meeting. I think about many experiences I've had with them. I've testified of a time when sweet Brother McLamb, when I was walking up those back steps, and there was a time in my life I was despairing, not probably of my own life, but my family's life and everybody else's life. I was despairing so much. But before I hit the top of those steps coming up, he said, he looked at me and he walked by, and I didn't even really recognize who it was or anything because I was so gone in self-pity. I was so down, but he had walked by, and all I could hear, "Well, as far as I know, God's still on the throne, son." And honestly, before I got to that last step, I was on my knee on that second to the last step, praising God and breaking right there. And it was done. It was absolutely done. And I thank God how that was. But that's an elder. That's the word of the Lord. That's how powerful and quick it is, and how it gets right down to the point. I thought again of precious Bobby, and again how God had used him early on as the Lord called me to be pastor of this meeting. And the Lord so sweetly gave me a gift of a very serious infection in my body. And I remember being so thankful, the Lord just kept me still about it, and that thing was raging through my body, and it was very serious. That stuff can kill you, and as far as that thing had advanced in my body, that doctor thought I was should have been dead, but nothing was working, but God had given me a peace about it. And I remember very sovereignly that the Lord on a Saturday night encouraged my heart, "Well, you call those elders in, and son, it's time to have them pray over you." So I was in the office, and I called him in, and there was the elders had come in, and sweet Bobby just started crying, and he said, "Oh," He said, I need to tell you something here, because in my heart, we were just going to pray in that office. And Bobby said, Jess, the Lord gave me a dream last night. And he said, I dreamt that you were going to call us in to have you pray over you. And he said, we're not going to pray for you in here. God encouraged my heart. We're going to pray for you out there in front of the congregation, because this healing isn't for you. It's for this body. And it was one of the monumental times. And there we went. And how God, I know, healed me at that moment and took that from my body. So I thank God for that, and how precious that is. Brother Ken, time and time again, what an encouragement in that regard. And, you know, God is awesome, and God is real. I just don't know how to tell you that, but if you just be still, you'll know that He's God. And it's amazing when you quit thrashing around the beauty that you'll see in the eyes of your Savior as He's just holding you and staring into your eyes and telling you how much He loves you. And He knows when you need these monumental moments. He does. He knows when you're ready to kind of kick it off, and He says, okay, here's that second wind. And I always, I have to tell you this, I always feel it's like His kisses to my mouth, and He breathes that life into me again right before I'm ready to go. He gives me a kiss. And I'll tell you what, that one just gets me going every time. But that's how He does it. And we thank God for it. So aren't we thankful that we are truly epistles read of men, and by the grace of God, vessels that add even to the usefulness of the husband. But there in verse 18, it goes on to say about not to muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. And I encourage you, brothers and sisters, don't be critical of a living that a pastor, a minister might make. Don't. Trust God for it. It's important for your life. I know that I've heard much criticism growing up about different ones and lavish things. And I know that I've seen things from different ones that haven't been very wise in different respects, but you know what? That's the pastor of that flock. And that's not for me to judge. I might have some discernment in it, but it's to keep my mouth shut. And that's God's work. And we need to be thankful and to give thanks for those that God has called and encouraged by grace. And these true elders, as it says in this precious word, deserve double honor. Rejoice that God has given to them this abundance of truth and love. And if God decides to increase them in certain ways, can't we be thankful for one another? I pray that we're a thankful body. I pray that we don't get into envying and coveting and all of these different things. See, the enemy just wants to run amok with that. We all have exactly what we need. I hope you know that. The word of the Lord tells us to look on the need of one another. And I'm so thankful to God that we can. And I believe that the Lord has encouraged us very much in this meeting. I thank the Lord for what He's allowed us to do and to help with different families and things of that nature. But it's all about the word of God. And that's where we need to really rest and settle in. You know, we could give all of our money to the poor, but if we don't have love, it profits nothing. We could have faith to move mountains. We could speak with the tongue of men and angels, but without the love of God, it profits nothing. God help us to know that, and God help us to rejoice again in the word of the Lord. I always think a little bit too about Brother Hill, and he was not ashamed of it, and I loved how he'd go right at it. He thanked God for that Mercedes he drove. He said, God gave it to me, and you should be thankful that I have it. And that's the truth, and I thank God for it. I told you the testimony of my wickedness and how God had to deal with me with that from coming in from the business world. There I had my car and I had that airplane. I don't need that car. I can't be driving that, being a pastor. And my goodness, I have no need for that airplane. And I'll tell you what, I was brokenhearted for months for saying that to God. I mean, the enemy almost got an angle on that one. But I just broke right there. I said, oh God, help me. How wicked. How wicked. You know, in a lot of people's minds, the world would cheer that. Oh, that's great. Maybe we could even get you a bed of nails to go lay on tonight, huh? Maybe you could be like that guy that get up on that pole and, you know, I'm going to lay up there and just suffer and suffer and suffer. The guy that suffered was that guy started to stink so bad because he was up there so many days, the guy that had to bring him the food. See, I start doing that, you will suffer. You see what I'm saying? Because self-righteousness stinks more than anything. So these are the things, brothers and sisters. You know, he is a God of increase. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He hadn't changed. He's always the same. So God help us to rejoice. And I'm happy for you. I'm happy for you in whatsoever state you're in. That's not just for me. That's for the body. And I do thank him for that. You're here tonight. I know you're in a good state. Good state. Hearing the word of God is always a good state. Praise God. All right. And we'll go ahead and end it up here with verse 19. And I do want to tell you, this is a very special verse to my heart. And I appreciate how Brother Copley, you talk about a wise elder, expressed this so well. Speaking of elders that have failed, that have had a failure. And can you imagine that? They can, huh? Just like every one of God's precious vessels, they fail. They do. And it happens. Mighty men and women in the Word of God all over this precious Word. It was a chapter after chapter. If it didn't have to be that way, but it had to be that way. And it did. Because God had to show them time and time again, I abide faithful. Amen? He abides faithful. So let's just get that right now. But something so important to my heart is that we lived this so mightily in this congregation so many years back and in a very special way. And I praise God that his word is true. But as Brother Copley brought out, see, when an elder has a failure, it's the elders that go to him. It's very important, brothers and sisters. This is vitally important to a meeting. This is vitally important to a meeting and to ministers that are ministers such as Timothy that run for God's best. It's vital. This isn't about me trying to make a point. This is the Word of God. And every bit of it is very, very important. And I'm thankful to God that he shows us how important these things are. And he shows us that his word is true, that when you follow him, there's light. And when you try to make your own way, it's destruction. It's just what it is. But this word of the Lord is so wonderful. But when Christians get away from it and try to take things in their own hand, when Christians try to take things in their own boards, when Christians try to, the ones with the biggest mouths, try to speak out, it's a doom. It never works. No matter what church it is, that's a church of the Lord. And I'll even use as examples, you know, growing up so many years ago, we saw many of these different TV evangelists go down in flames, you know. And it wasn't done with the board. It wasn't the spiritual that restored the spiritual. It was the people. It was the, it wasn't done with the elders. It was done with the board. It was done with the people. It was done with, you know, people giving their opinions and all of these things. And I don't believe there's a one of those meetings that are still around. They're gone. Because it can't stand. Because it's the word of the Lord. Do you see what I'm saying? And it's true. You build that house upon that sinking sand, it's going to sink. But if you build it on the rock, it'll stand. It'll go through storms. I was looking at some of those storms that they recently had down there in Texas and all these different places. You know, when that storm hit some of those houses, they just exploded. But some of those houses, it even said it hit them, didn't touch them. And all I could think about, on the rock, on the rock. And thank God for that. But see, God protected, and I rejoice in this. God protected this little meeting here from this kind of a thing because a stand was made to look to the word of the Lord. And I want you to stay with me on this. And I don't know who might be listening to this, but this is a precious thing. It's precious because it's the word of the Lord. And I'm confident that in all of this time, and I remember hearing different testimony from Brother Hill about the elders and how there was encouragement from them to him as he went through that time and as our meeting went through that time and how God did the work. And I want you to understand this. This isn't about who was right and who was wrong. That had nothing to do with that. It's just that God's way is always right. Amen? God's way, again, is always right. And God's word is true. And God's word always stands. It never falls. It never fails. It's tried. It's true. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It cuts through it. It can have an appearance of all of the good that it could ever have. Something could be as right as we ever thought it could be. But in the test of the word of the Lord, if it's not, it's cut and it's done. And it's true. And that's what the word of the Lord does. And may we always look to the word of the Lord. But see, if it's the word of his grace that we're really panting after, brothers and sisters, the word of his grace builds us up. It protects. It gives us an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. I thank God as I look back at this and I think how the Lord, again, it wasn't about a man. It was about the word of the Lord, because that's what it always is about. And the word of the Lord protected this congregation. And it did. And I'm thankful to the word of the Lord that it protects this congregation. And we need to pray for this place. We need to pray that it is the word of the Lord that we pant after, because nothing can stand against it. In Jesus' name and in his word, brothers and sisters, we're more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. If God be for us, who could be against us? And these are things that I don't want to be uncomfortable to talk about. It's the joy of the Lord that's our strength. No matter, in a sense, how someone was feeling, whether we were caught up in anger because of one side of it or anger because of this side of it, that wasn't what this was about. It was about the word of the Lord. And the correction that God allowed us to have was from the elder. That's why this continued on. That's one of the main reasons why this did. That it wasn't given to the people. It wasn't given to a board. It was the word of the Lord. And this is the evidence. And I thank God for it, because in all honesty, when these kinds of things come, it's like those tornadoes. You think, man, we're done. But there was a whirlwind within a whirlwind. Know it. And it is so awesome. And these are the things that I guess make... we know he's real. But that he is more real, I know that doesn't really make sense. But the reality of the realness of God becomes even more real when he takes you through these things. When it's mountain be removed, and wow, where'd the mountain go? He didn't just move it, he removed it. And then, and I'll end with this, he's a God of better. Because not only does he protect, but he heals. He heals and restores and always makes better, makes more lovely. And without those things, we would never be where we are today. Amen? What a precious time. Thank you, Jesus. Let's stand and be dismissed.